This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda coming to you from Qalam. Alhamdulillah, part of our mission and our objective here at Qalam is to provide practical, relevant, traditional, beneficial Islamic knowledge to everyone everywhere, and to make the knowledge and the understanding of Islam as accessible as possible. And that's why we approach knowledge in so many different ways. Yes, we do have opportunities to seek knowledge that require a huge commitment, like studying at the seminary, or you know, lesser commitments like coming to an intensive or going on one of the Qalam travel tours and trips. A little less commitment than that, maybe like taking a Qalam Connect class. But then for those folks who maybe aren't able to do all of that right now, we want to make sure that everyone is able to benefit. And that's why we have things like the podcast, which anyone can listen to anywhere. And similarly, we wanted to have these a little bit more interactive webinars periodically, where people, inshallah, especially particularly relevant to the calendar and what's going on at this particular moment, people are able to log on and be able to get some understanding, get some beneficial knowledge directly from the teachers and the instructors here at Qalam. So alhamdulillah, we're very, very happy to be bringing you this webinar and be able to create another outlet where we can dispense beneficial Islamic knowledge for free, completely for the benefit of the community. So alhamdulillah, this webinar is coming to you during the end, the second half, the end of the month of Rajab. And the end of the month of Rajab marks a very powerful and beautiful occasion from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the occasion that we know as Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. The journey by night from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then the ascension above the heavens. Now, you're going to be hearing from and learning from Mufti Kamani a little bit later, and he will be talking about Al-Mi'raj, but also sharing a lot of reflections and thoughts. And so I definitely want to not, touch on anything that he's going to, inshallah, be elaborating upon. But very briefly, I wanted to mention a couple of things to create a general framework for what we're talking about here today. First and foremost, there's a very powerful and beautiful principle, a universal principle, a law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into place. And that is, no good deed goes unrewarded. No difficulty and adversity goes unalleviated. Anytime someone faces any struggle, undoubtedly, undeniably, there's always relief, reprieve, and comfort that follows after it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states this so beautifully, as only Allah can. فَإِنَّمَا عَلْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا عَلْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, with difficulty comes ease, with difficulty is ease. And there are so many other places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. God wants ease and facilitation for you. He does not want obstruction, hardship, and difficulty for you. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to lighten your load. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to overburden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to overburden and inundate you with complications and difficulty. And so it's very, very important to remember that anytime we deal with any type of difficulty, whether it be individually, familially, socially, communally, globally, that there is always some type of relief and comfort from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is coming, both in the life of the hereafter and in this world. So now, talking about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is demonstrated for us. So it becomes something very real and very practical. And the way it's demonstrated is through the most difficult part of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam personally. The Prophet ﷺ, within the span of a few weeks, he suffered the loss of his beloved wife Khadija, radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was his wife of 25 years, the mother of his children, the first one to believe in his message, and his strongest supporter, and a mother of all the believers. And he lost her. And within weeks of that, the Prophet ﷺ also suffered the death and the passing of his uncle Abu Talib. Abu Talib, his uncle who raised him from the age of 8 and cared for him like one of his own, was like a parent to him. And Abu Talib, who advised and supported the Prophet ﷺ through his young adulthood and into adulthood. And then finally, when the Prophet ﷺ was given his task and his mission, while Abu Talib did not believe, he still supported him and defended him. And the Prophet ﷺ lost that person. And personally for the Prophet ﷺ, this was a very, very difficult moment. It was a very difficult period of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So much so that it is remembered and it is commented on as being Amul Huzn, the year of grief and sorrow. Not only that, but there is even a third difficulty that comes upon the Prophet ﷺ. And that third difficulty that comes upon the Prophet ﷺ is in the form of the Prophet ﷺ, due to Mecca becoming so difficult and divisive, the Prophet ﷺ feels compelled to explore any opportunities outside of Mecca to be able to propagate and spread the message of Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ, in doing so, he travels to the city of Ta'if. And when he goes there, he is met with rejection and ridicule and ultimately persecution. They throw rocks at him. They stone him for a duration of 3 miles. And he bleeds profusely. And he suffers such a difficult and aggressive and violent response from these people when all he did was go there to talk to them and give them something beneficial for them. And then there's a fourth difficulty. When he's coming back home, the people of Ta'if leak the information to the people of Mecca saying that he came here as a traitor to Mecca. So then the Prophet ﷺ is not able to enter back into Mecca, and he has to spend 3 days outside of Mecca waiting for that issue to be cleared up before he can re-enter Mecca. Difficulty upon difficulty upon difficulty upon difficulty. It's a very, very tragic moment from the life of the Prophet ﷺ. But in that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides ease, facilitation, comfort, relief, reprieve, peace and tranquility by granting the Prophet ﷺ the greatest honor, the greatest distinction that any human being has ever experienced, has ever enjoyed. He takes him on the most miraculous journey of his life, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. So I wanted to create this framework so that we can appreciate what we're talking about here. The second thing is that this journey is separated into two parts, and that's why it has two names, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. The journey by night from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then the ascension above the heavens. Inshallah, what I'm going to be talking to you about today here is the portion of the journey of the Prophet ﷺ where he travels from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then the experiences there at Masjid Al-Aqsa. And then Mufti Kamani, inshallah, will be sharing with you the portion of the journey in which it talks about the ascension above the heavens. So the first part of this journey is the Prophet ﷺ traveling from Mecca to Masjid Al-Aqsa. Now that begins in Mecca. There are a couple of different narrations. One says that he went from the home of Ummu Hani, one says that he went from his own home, one says that he went from the Kaaba itself. The way that's generally understood is that the Prophet ﷺ, particularly after the passing of Khadija, for Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, he would sometimes leave her with Ummu Hani at her home. So they had a little private area in the home of Ummu Hani, that he was there earlier that night. Then he came home to his own home. And from there, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam came and took him to the Kaaba, where they laid him down, they split his chest, and they cleansed his heart to prepare him for this miraculous journey. It is at that time that Jibreel alayhi salam presented an animal to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the Buraq, which moves at the speed of light. It's a miraculous animal, a very remarkable creature. And this creature of the Buraq, Jibreel alayhi salam says, he is the transportation, the ride of the prophets. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam boards this animal and they depart from the Kaaba, from Mecca. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, each step would land as far as the eye could see. And I looked over to my right and I saw Jibreel was keeping up with me. So fast. He says that we just started traveling and then Jibreel alayhi wa sallam stopped the animal. And then he asked me to please descend from the animal and pray two rak'ahs there. The Prophet ﷺ said, I prayed there. And then Jibreel ﷺ said to me, he said, do you know where we just stopped? I said, I do not. And he said that, أَرْضٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَإِلَيْهَا الْمُهَاجَرُ. We just stopped at a very blessed place, a beautiful place. And this is the place where the migration will occur to. It was basically the city of Medina, and it was the inauguration and kind of a commencement of the city of Medina. He said, then we proceeded. He stopped me at another place and he said, pray here. And I prayed there. He said, do you know where this is? And I said, no. And he said, this is the place where Musa alayhi salam sat under the tree, Madian, when he escaped Fir'aun. And he came there and he was seeking refuge and he prayed to God, oh Allah, I am in need of whatever you provide to me. He traveled again and he said, you stopped him again. He said, pray here. He said, do you know where we stopped? He said, no. And he said, this is where God spoke to Musa alayhi salam, where Allah spoke to Moses, Janib al-Tur al-Ayman. And then he said that we proceeded on forward. He stopped me at a place. He said, pray here. And I prayed there. He said, do you know where we prayed? And I said, no. And he said, this is the place where Isa alayhi salam was born, Beit Lahm, Bethlehem. He said, and then finally we arrived at Masjid Aqsa. And he said, when we arrived at Masjid Aqsa, he says at that time, all the prophets throughout time were gathered there together. All gathered and commemorated. And their souls were gathered there together. And then the Prophet ﷺ was asked to lead all of them in prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ led every single prophet. Some narrations say over 100,000. Some narrations say over 300,000. Prophets of God. And the Prophet ﷺ was their imam, demonstrating the status and the position of the Prophet ﷺ as Sayyidul Mursaleen, Imam al-Anbiya, as a leader of the prophets and the leader of all the messengers. And after leading all the prophets in prayer, at that time, the Prophet ﷺ, Jibreel ﷺ, escorted him and led him to the highest point in that Aqsa compound where it is said to be around the area where the Dome of the Rock is constructed today, Qubbatu Sakhra. Led him there. And from there, the ascension took place. Now, there's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about here. First and foremost, this is another one of the great, remarkable virtues, along with the hundreds, if not thousands of other virtues, of the Holy Land. Of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, Al-Quds, in Palestine. This is one of the greatest virtues of that place. That this is the place where this remarkable experience took place, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all the prophets and had the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam physically come there and lead all of them in prayer. And something else very beautiful, a reflection, is that this is happening at such a difficult moment during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles him. He gathers him together with all of his brothers, all the prophets. And he has him lead them in prayer, reinforcing that what you're doing is remarkable. And what you're doing is important. And you need to keep doing it. But there's also a very beautiful reflection that the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided this empowerment to the Prophet ﷺ was Masjid Aqsa, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. That is where God empowered His beloved Messenger ﷺ. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, remarkable place. Alhamdulillah, I've had the experience to go and we take a group every year. And subhanAllah, without fail, every time you go, you fall more deeply and more deeply in love with that place. You appreciate it more and more and more. It's just like you know, people talk about and have experienced at Mecca and Medina. You never tire. You never grow weary. You never grow bored. You never, lose any type of love and admiration and awe and inspiration of those places. Masjid Aqsa is no different than that. It is a beautiful, remarkable, amazing, astounding place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all there. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free it and grant it and its people dignity and safety. So, after this particular experience, the ascension into the heavens took place, Al-Mi'raj, the ascension. And inshallah, Mufti Kamani will be talking to you more about that. There are a couple of things that I wanted to mention before I conclude my portion. Number one is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the way and then on the way back as well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was miraculously shown by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the rewards and the punishments of different people. And it's almost like a projection of the life of the hereafter. What will happen? What are the consequences of some of the good deeds and also the sins that people commit? And there were some very, very beautiful and also some very scary things, very frankly speaking. The Prophet ﷺ was shown some people who they would plant a seed into the ground. And as soon as they would put the seed into the ground, it would immediately grow and come to fruition, and they would harvest it immediately. That they were that quickly being given the fruits and the rewards of their labor. And the Prophet ﷺ asked, who are these people, Jibreel? And Jibreel ﷺ informed them that these are the people who would strive to propagate the religion of God and use their time and their energy and their wealth and their property to spread Islam. That this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies their reward. May Allah make us from amongst them. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ saw some very scary things. For instance, one of the things that he saw was that there were some people that were being tortured, punished. Their tongues were being pulled out of their mouths and being cut off with iron, scissors. And this was happening to them. And the Prophet ﷺ, with anguish, with just so much concern, he said, who are these people? Why is this happening to them, O Jibreel? And Jibreel alayhi salam said, these are the people who used to backbite, slander, ridicule, mock, humiliate other people. They were people who targeted the dignity and the honor of people with their tongues. And they were unrepentant, unrelenting in doing so. They kept on doing it. They didn't care about the consequences. They knew it was wrong and they still did it. And this is their punishment. May Allah protect us all. So these types of things the Prophet ﷺ saw and he brought back for us so that we can take that into consideration, learn from that and benefit from that. The second thing I wanted to share that Mufti Kamani will also touch on, but just very quickly because it's something that just always, it's one of my favorite parts of this story. When the Prophet ﷺ came back and he was informing everyone, of course Abu Jahl and some of the problem people, some troublemakers, they tried to, create a situation. And they started trying to mock the Prophet ﷺ. And some of them said, well, there are some people here who have been to Aqsa, to Al-Quds, Baytul Maqdis. They know what it looks like. So describe it to us. Now the Prophet ﷺ was there for a little bit of time in the night, leading all the prophets in prayer. He wasn't there to study the architecture. So he didn't remember so much of it where he could describe all of it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. And Jibreel alayhi salam opened up his wing. And it's like Baytul Maqdis was being projected onto his wing and he started pointing at specific things. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam started commenting in so much detail. There's a door here, there's a window there, there's a crack here, there's a nook here. And people were blown away and astounded. How is he doing this? And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously created the means. And while the Prophet is describing every little detail, there's this here, there's that here, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who had never been there, started responding saying, sadaqt, 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 sadaqt. Correct, correct, you speak the truth, you speak the truth, you speak the truth. And the Prophet finally commented by saying, anta siddiq, you are the truthful one. And that's where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got his title. Look at the faith and the commitment and the loyalty and the belief of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. It's a beautiful thing. May Allah be pleased with him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similarly grant us that kind of faithfulness. And then the last thing I wanted to comment on before I close, and again, Mufti Kumani will talk more about this. But from this journey of Al-Isra wal Mi'raj, one of the beautiful gifts the Prophet came back with was the gift of prayer, the gift of salah. As-salatu mi'raj al-mu'min. We all have difficulties. Recently, the Muslim community with the massacre in Mali, and then we also had the terrible shooting in the masjid in New Zealand, and the ongoing tragedies in so many parts of the world. There's a lot of pain and suffering. But we all have our own little mini mi'raj opportunities. We make wudu, we face towards the qibla, we say Allahu Akbar. And then we talk to Allah. And know, believe, that it will bring peace and tranquility and comfort to your heart. It will ease your pain. It will remind you that Allah is with you. Because Allah is with all of us. Jazakumullahu khairan. I want to thank everyone for tuning into the webinar today. And inshallah, stay tuned for the second part of our presentation today with Mufti Kamani. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Inshallah, you're enjoying and benefiting from the broadcast and the webinar today about Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. We hope to continue to bring you beneficial classes, webinars, content, podcasts, as we have been doing so up until now. In order to be able to make this effort sustainable, we ask for you to become our partners in doing so. Become a supporter and a sustainer of Qalam's efforts today by going to support.qalam.com and signing up. This will be a sadaqah jariyah for all of us, something that will continue to benefit us long after we're gone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. Now please stay tuned for the second part of today's webinar with Mufti Kamani talking about Al-Mi'raj.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi rusul wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya. The first 10 years of prophethood were very difficult for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were so many tests and so many challenges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed before the Messenger of Allah. Teaching us, his followers, the lesson of life, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sunnah is, his method is, that he will test those who he loves the most, pushing them to get closer to him. The believer doesn't shy away from a challenge in life. Rather, the believer uses it as an opportunity, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, to raise his hands and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to connect with Allah, to fall under prostration, to cry in front of Allah. And it was during this phase in the Prophet's life where he went through so much over this very long 10-year period that it was at the end of the 10th year, early 11th year, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now honored the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the beautiful, miraculous journey of Isra and Mi'raj. Therefore, we learn a second thing, that with every difficulty comes ease. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also reward you. And that reward will be so great, it'll be so beautiful, it'll be so special, then even you won't expect and believe that this is the result of that sacrifice that you went through in your life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on this night of Isra and Mi'raj, was blessed with two very separate, very individual, unique blessings. The first blessing that he was given was the journey of Isra, which was a horizontal journey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from Makkah Mukarramah to Palestine Al-Quds. It was a horizontal journey. And then the second blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him was the journey of Mi'raj. And this is the vertical journey where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from the world into ascension. He began to ascend into the heavens. Now, as you may know, that during the part of the Isra, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from Makkah Mukarramah to Al-Quds, Palestine, he was on the Buraq. The scholars, they say, however, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began the ascension part, the Buraq was left behind, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covered this part of his trip on a staircase. And it was a beautiful staircase sent from paradise that allowed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to climb into the heavens. His companion on this journey was his teacher and beloved, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. The narrations tell us that Jibreel alayhi salam was leading the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this journey, and they were ascending together until they arrived at the heavens and the gates of Jannah. When they came to the first gate, Jibreel alayhi salam knocked on the door, seeking permission to enter. From the other side, they were asked, "Who is it?" Jibreel alayhi salam said, "It is Jibreel." They asked, "Who is with you?" Jibreel alayhi salam said, "Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Therefore, the gates of Jannah were opened up, and the angels standing at those doors began to welcome the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of how great of a day it was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived and came, walked into the Jannah that they were standing at. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one by one visited different prophets that were at each of these stations, at each of these paradises, waiting to greet and meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars engage in a very interesting discussion where they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very strategically kept these prophets in place because each of them had something to offer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A very special message, a very important advice for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what was this advice? What was the wisdom behind the prophets he met? Where he met them? Why did he meet them in this sequence? There is some discussion in the books of hadith on these wisdoms. However, just keep in mind that nothing is substantiated through authentic sources, verses of the Quran or a hadith of Rasulullah. These are speculations and thoughts that scholars have given after reflecting over this. So at the first heaven, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Why did he meet Adam alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to the beginning of mankind. This is where it all started. And this is where you need to bring people back. Adam alayhi salam's message was a simple one. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Mankind from that point has gone far away from this teaching of Adam alayhi salam. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you need to bring people back to the message, to the teaching of their father, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. The second wisdom some scholars have proposed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meeting Adam alayhi salam in the first heaven of paradise was an indication. Adam alayhi salam's journey started from Jannah. Due to a mistake, he was taken out of Jannah, but yet he came back. And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is meeting him in Jannah. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told that your journey started in Makkah. Very soon you will have to leave Makkah and go to Medina. Yet remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always bring you back to where your journey started. And then fast forward 8-9 years after migration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning back to Makkah Mukarramah as a conqueror. Allah azza wa jal grants him the victory over Makkah Mukarramah, Fath Makkah. Now, from there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascends to the second heaven. And there he meets two prophets. These two prophets were cousins of one another. They lived together. They had grown up together. Who were these two prophets? Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam. With Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting an opportunity to see where his generation went wrong. He delivered to them a message of Tawheed, yet they exaggerated and they now were in a pool of shirk and kufr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is learning how to guide his ummah and keep them away from making such mistakes. Similarly, Isa alayhi salam's followers were the Christians. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would arrive in Medina Munawwara, and after Islam would begin to spread, Muslims would interact with Christians. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking with Isa alayhi salam, becoming very familiar, talking with him, benefiting from his advice, taking his counsel. From there, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to ascend. And at the third heaven, he reached the meeting with Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam's story was very interesting because in his story there was a lesson for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His own people were the ones who turned against him. But at the end of the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the people that turned against Yusuf alayhi salam were the very same people he forgave and he made dua for. He never allowed hatred to come into his heart for those who did wrong to him. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being reminded that the people of Makkah are doing wrong to you. These are your family members. These are your close relatives. You must not hate them for the wrong they are doing to you. Learn to love them. Learn to appreciate them. Understand that they are being deluded by shaitan. Ultimately, tomorrow, you may be standing in a place where they may come to you asking for forgiveness and you may want to forgive them. But if you let the hatred, if you allow this hatred to take its roots in your heart, tomorrow you won't be able to forgive them. Go and look at the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. That's exactly what happened. Makkah Mukarramah was conquered. These leaders of Quraysh were brought in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when they were reminded of their crimes and the wrong they did, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't tell them that he was going to torture them or he would banish them till the end of times. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, "I will say to you what Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم أنتم الطلقاء. Each and every one of you are set free. I do not hold you accountable for the wrong that you did. That was gone, that was past. Let's look past it, let's move forward. يغفر الله لكم, may Allah forgive you. وهو أرحم الراحمين, and He is the most merciful." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam continues his journey. He arrives at the fourth heaven, and there he meets Idris alayhi salam. And then he continues on in his journey, and he meets Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Harun alayhi salam first. And then he continues on in his journey, and he meets Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. He continues in his journey, he reaches the seventh heaven, and there he meets Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is leaning against a Kaaba structure that is in the heavens, and this Kaaba structure is Baytul Ma'mur. It's the Kaaba above the Kaaba of this world in the heavens that the angels do tawaf of. There he meets Ibrahim alayhi salam, and there's a very interesting, beautiful, intimate conversation that occurs between the two. And it's as if all of these prophets are encouraging him, motivating him, giving him himmah and hope, giving him courage, that go back to your people and be strong. Don't give up. 10 years of sacrifice have passed by. There may be another 13 years ahead of you. You just can't give up on your people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is absorbing this all. He's absorbing it all. The journey continues on until at one point, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam steps ahead of Jibreel alayhi salam. Now, throughout this entire journey, Jibreel alayhi salam was in front. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was behind. This was the first time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went ahead, and now he was ahead of Jibreel alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, why did he stop? Jibreel alayhi salam said, Ya Rasulullah, no creation has ever passed this limit. You're on your own. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued on, and he walked forward and walked forward and walked forward until he came very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How close was he to Allah? Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did the Messenger of Allah see Allah during that journey of Mi'raj? There is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars. One group of scholars hold the position that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see Allah on the night of Mi'raj. He did not see Allah on the night of Mi'raj. The second group of scholars hold the position that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of Mi'raj. Now, before you decide to jump in this debate and cast an opinion of your own, just know that this difference of opinion traces back all the way to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where on one side you had Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was of that position, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did see Allah on the night of Mi'raj. And on the other hand, you had Aisha radiallahu anha, who was adamant and she was fixed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not see Allah on the night of Mi'raj. So this is an old debate and one that is it predates our modern times. And if you choose to give side to one of these two opinions because after reading the proofs you feel that one is more correct than the other, just be respectful to the other side, knowing that the other side was an opinion held by companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Under the tafsir of the ayat of Surah An-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually in the verses himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدَنَا ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّا فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدَنَا. He came close to Allah, or he came close and came even closer, and he was only at the distance of two bows. You know a bow and arrow you have? Two bows, if they were lied down on the ground in front of one another, as the distance in combination of both bows was the distance that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing at. Now, one group of scholars, they say that this distance, this closeness, this proximity that Allah is referring to, the proximity of two bows, was the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing in front of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi sallam. While the others say, no, this is referring to the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing in front of his creator, his master, his Allah. Now what happened when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so close to Allah? Did they speak? Did they not speak? What did they talk about? There's nothing authentically reported in terms of what exactly they talked about. Some narrations tell us, and these are authentic narrations that tell us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given his five salah, he was given the closing verses of Surah Baqarah. So these are things that are mentioned, that he was granted these special gifts. However, with that said, when I say that nothing is authentically reported, I'm making reference to this commonly quoted incident that they say that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in front of Allah, he said, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded back by saying, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And the angel said, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. This statement is not an authentic narration and most likely fabricated, wrongfully attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the gift of salah. And this is a great indication for all of us that yes, we may have difficult times in our life. We may have our challenges that may prolong over years. Never give up hope on Allah. We may not go on Mi'raj. Jibreel alayhi salam may not come to receive us from our home and take us on the journey of Isra and then take us on the journey of Mi'raj. That may not happen. However, if you wish to go in front of Allah and stand in front of Allah, for a believer, as-salatu mi'raj al-mu'min. As-salatu mi'raj al-mu'min. Stand in front of Allah, start your salah, go into sajda, and you're already on your mi'raj. You've already been blessed. Resort to salah in your difficult times. Build that connection, that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the summary of Isra and Mi'raj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given all of these honors because this was the night that salah would become fard upon the ummah. This was the night that salah would become a part of the fabric of this religion. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back from his journey of Isra and Mi'raj, the narration mentions that when he came back to the house, when he returned back to the home that he left off from, the water was still flowing in the drain. What that means is, this entire journey took place within a few seconds. The door handle that was shaking was still shaking. When the Prophet went, it was moving. When he came back, it was moving. The entire journey occurred in a few moments. And this is very special. This is a miracle in and of itself. The next morning when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up, he came to the people of Mecca and he shared this beautiful story with them. This beautiful occurrence, the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. Rasulullah could have chosen to keep it a secret because he had to have known that if he told people this story, they would call him cuckoo. They would call him crazy. But the Prophet of Allah, any Prophet of Allah can never hide the message. They can never hide any revelation. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, confident that Allah would protect him, take care of him, he came and told the people of Mecca. They used this as an opportunity to mock him and make fun of him. They started joking, ridiculing him, you know, making all sorts of fun out of him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't say anything. One of them decided that it would be comical if they went to Abu Bakr and told him what the Prophet is saying, that he went from Mecca all the way to Quds in a matter of a few seconds and came back. Ha ha ha, how is that even possible? When they came and told Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said that if the Prophet Muhammad is saying this, then it's true and I believe in it. This shows us how much Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu really trusted the Prophet. The whole world was on one side. What they were claiming against the Prophet was a good claim, meaning the Prophet's claim that he went on Isra and Mi'raj is very clearly illogical. It doesn't make sense. It's irrational. But Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, rational or irrational, logical or illogical, he chose to be by the side of Rasulullah. And that's why he was Abu Bakr. He said that if the Prophet said this, then I believe it, then it's truthful. If anyone else said it, then I'm not sure. But if he said it, then I have no doubt in it at all. And that was the point where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the title As-Siddiq, the truthful one. And that title stuck with him because he believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He testified on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He confirmed this journey of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at a time where others were skeptical and while others were mocking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The people of Mecca asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for some proof that this journey occurred. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them some signs. They asked him, how many doors and windows are there in Al-Quds? I mean, who would know that? If you know how many doors and windows there are of a masjid that you've only visited once, and while you were there, you were doing something very important, leading the prophets of Allah in prayer, and yet you still know the number of windows and doors, there's something wrong with you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to establish the hujjah and prove on behalf of the Prophet, he gave a hologram in front of the Prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam counted the doors and windows and answered them back. He then told them that he saw a caravan that was returning to Medina and it would arrive in so many days based off his estimation and where they were when he passed by them. The narration mentions that when that day arrived that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that they would return back to Medina, they hadn't returned. The sun was about to set. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. And according to a narration, it has some weakness in it, but it is quoted in the books of Sirah, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua to Allah, the miracle of Habsu Shams occurred, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the sun to stop in its place, those people returned, and then the sun had set. And this is the summary of the journey of Isra and Mi'raj. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all strength in our moments of difficulty, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be strong as well, that we turn to Him when we are challenged, when we feel sad, when we feel lonely. Go into your sajda, cry out to Allah, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, with every difficulty comes ease. With every difficulty comes ease. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried that his people wouldn't accept Islam. After the journey of Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up doors for him. And the people of the Ansar met the Prophet of Allah. They accepted Islam. They invited their people. With every difficulty, there will be ease. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, grants us the ability to reflect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us our moments of spiritual ascension in this dunya. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
We hope and pray that you benefited from today's webinar. To conclude, what I'd like to ask you to do is something very simple. Inshallah, sign up, subscribe to our email list, so that you can receive updates for opportunities to learn and benefit like this, inshallah, because we hope to be doing this more and more. Number two is that please take a listen to the Qalam podcast. It is thousands of hours of free, absolutely free, very beneficial lectures, content, classes from our instructors, our teachers, and our scholars. And you can start benefiting immediately. So give a listen to our podcast. Inshallah, you will find it very beneficial. And thirdly and finally, Alhamdulillah, we hope to continue to bring you all this beneficial content and do all the good that Qalam is doing, which also includes providing scholarships to full-time students of knowledge who will become the teachers of our communities in the future. So inshallah, support Qalam in fulfilling this mission. Help us to educate you and to educate our communities and future generations and all of humanity by signing up to be a supporter and a sustainer of Qalam's efforts by going to supportqalam.com. Each and every single contribution counts. Please sign up, contribute what you can, and encourage it. Encourage others, recommend it to others, share it with others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.